Brought to you by the Water Innovations Foundation, solving the world's water problems through technology. Learn more at waterinnovations.org.
Welcome back to This Week with Ann Carrick and Vincent Caprio. I'm Ann Carrick. Vincent is on the phone because he's in Ohio right now. In the studio with me, it's a party. I have Joe DiFilippo and Peter Cahill is joining us. Peter is a financial consultant with American Planning Group in Stamford. And Peter, thanks for joining in on the conversation.
Great to be here. Thank you.
It's nice to have you. I know that you work with a lot of individuals, which usually means a lot of business owners. And since we've been talking about running your own business, you know, one of the things that I mean, there's a lot of good things to running your own business. As Vincent says, you know, you're not working for somebody who's incompetent, we hope, if it's yourself. But you do give up what a lot of people think of as that big security net, you know, as far as benefits or pensions or, you know, all the perks and benefits that come with working for a large company. So that's where somebody like you really comes into the picture to help them rebuild that on their own, whether it's planning for retirement or fulfilling the vacancy left by no pension, correct?
Right, correct.
Now, I was going to ask Peter, so he's had a 30-year career, and his earlier part of his career was in banking. And I don't want to mention what local bank in Fairfield County he worked at, but pretty prominent bank. So why don't local banks lend money to small business, Peter? Why don't you tell us, as a former banker?
No, we're getting the inside scoop here.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Well, I think things are very different now than they were in the past. You know, in order to get money now, you need pristine numbers. And you know, in an economy like this, it's almost impossible to have pristine type numbers. When I say that, balance sheet, income statement, all the requirements that companies look at to get money.
And if you have all that, do you even need the loan?
Well, it's interesting. Excellent point. It seems like the people that are getting money are the ones that really don't need it. So that's a valid point.
Which means booming businesses can expand and grow, and the ones that are right at that point where they really need just a little boost, they're just going out of business instead.
Yes, they are. The ones that are surviving are the ones that saved for the future and in good times and were very conservative and lived and had their overhead below their means, which was smart. You know, Joe had mentioned that, you know, that's how he started. And it's really, you know, it's like individuals, you know, run your business and live below your means. When I say that, your overhead, keep your fixed costs down.
So on an individual basis, if somebody, they want to make sure that their income is more than their housing, food,
correct,
utilities, you know, et cetera, their expenses.
Right.
So if a business has been doing the same thing, then they can probably get a loan.
Right, right.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of analysis, and I've worked with a publishing firm that was, I won't name the firm, but who did a lot of acquisitions. And the biggest element that they looked at was cash flow. So I tell people, you know, you got to run your personal finances similar to how successful businesses are run, and it's positive cash flow. So that's the biggest thing that I would tell about you know, businesses' success is positive cash flow on an ongoing basis. That's the one element that businesses always look at when they're going to acquire a firm or want to be serious about doing business with someone is that positive cash flow. So and it's really goes back to the basics. Individuals should run it the same way. So if there's ways that you could leverage your opportunities to free up cash flow, I am a big proponent of that. As Vince knows and other people that know me, I really leverage every opportunity that the government or any other organization will give you to free up capital to create more cash flow in your situation.
So when you're working with a business owner as an individual, that's one of the things you do is try to help them free up their own money to put towards their business?
Yes, absolutely.
Because they're not going to get a loan.
Right, right. Well, you know, a lot of times as a business owner,
without putting them in a high-risk situation,
excellent point is,
don't bet the farm.
No. But a lot of business owners have had to, in these times, go back to their personal capital and free up cash flow that way. And a lot of ways to do that is through your real estate. I mean, the government will give, it's really the way to go, because the government will give you it's a tax benefit too. So anytime you through your personal real estate, you know, utilize the loan element there, and let's say you have equity in your home already, right there there's an element that you can apply that. The government doesn't really care if you use that towards your business. It's equity that you have in your house.
Right.
So you can apply that. So that's one way you can free up cash flow is through your personal side. But what's happened over the years is everybody's strapped on the personal side too. So they
their houses may not have much equity depending
exactly.
on what kind of mortgage they had in the current market.
Than a few years ago. Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
But the combination, if they had like one of those non-traditional type mortgages and the value of their house has gone down, they could be
exactly.
in a situation there's nothing left to get out of that house.
Peter,
I see the biggest mistake of small business owners, say a small business owner, a man or woman, was making $150,000 a year at a corporation, and the corporation had a match on the 401k. Now they're a small business owner, and let's just say they're going to net $100,000. Well, now they have no pension. What would you recommend that person to do right off the bat?
You said they have no pension left?
Well,
I mean, their business goes...
No, with their own business.
They have a small business, and they're small. They have no pension because they're a small business.
Oh, okay. I mean,
so
well,
should they not put any money away for a pension? Should they not have a 401k? I think that's the biggest mistake they make, is that they're in the corporate world. Now they have a small business and they're netting $100,000.
Right.
What would you recommend a person to do?
Well, actually, that brings up a valid point. And I'm a little taken back by just the level of professional support that a lot of people are getting on the tax side. I'm just shocked that a new client came in a few weeks ago and that she had not only been working at a university, but been writing books on her own for a couple of years, and never once did her tax person mention about setting up a separate retirement plan through her self-employed operation. And so that was one of the first things we talked about, was, you know, setting some aside, you know, up to the government limits to do that. And there's so many ways that you could do that, and the government will automatically give you a tax write-off too. So you know, I generally don't use the expression no-brainer, but it really is. I mean, you're getting a tax benefit, you're saving for the future, it's tax-deferred, and it's a home run. I mean, anybody that is self-employed, has their own business, and is not putting some aside for the future, really is doing themselves a disservice.
Well, because that's one of the big issues, especially if it's an independent contractor situation where you are the business. You know, if you can't work, or if you would like to retire sometime, the income, the revenue just stops. You know, in other words, if you are the business, like you're either your knowledge or your skills, you know, so there's got to be something, and that's probably something you could answer, is what does somebody do so that when they would like to stop working, they still have money to live until they die?
Right, right. Well, that's the biggest thing is with a lot of business owners is you have to have, obviously, some type of succession plan as to, you know, what is going to happen when you know, I do want to slow down or I do want to sell the business. You always have to have that kind of backup plan. But
I mean, the ideal world, you have a business where the business continues on,
right?
And without you, and you just draw
well,
some kind of money
from
another,
it. Well, I just met with another former client the other day, and I won't say which field he's in, but he's a doctor, and he says that, you know, because of the nature of his practices, he can't sell his business, which I just found very ironic.
Because normally a doctor could sell their practice at some point when they're done.
Right, yeah. Ideally, but I guess because of the nature of that type of medicine that he does, it generally doesn't adapt well to a different doctor. I won't be too specific about this.
I know now, of course, I'm dying to know what it is because you can't
we'll
tell us.
Right.
Thanks a lot, Peter.
Yeah. but really, it's...
So what does somebody like that do? When somebody like that comes to you, what do you do? Because there's this huge business that should be worth a lot of money.
Correct.
I mean, that's one of the ways to make a lot of money, is to start a business, grow it enough until somebody else wants it, and sell it, and take all the cash and do something else with it.
Right, right.
So what does somebody like
do? I would still pursue it. All avenues. There's many firms out there, including accounting firms, that do valuation analysis. No matter what business you have, And again, I've bought and sold businesses with one of my former companies, and there's always a value for people, for an opportunity out there if people are willing to pay for it. So it's really a supply and demand situation. I think there's really a demand for new businesses out there, and so even though he said what he said, I still believe that I would take that next step with someone, a professional, to get a valuation on
your
business.
To find a buyer, yeah. Basically.
Right. So, well, to first go out, get a valuation, from either CPA, or there are specific firms that do nothing but value a business, and then, you know, determine what the opportunity is out there for the demand for that business, and go worldwide to see, you know, where people would be willing to buy it. I mean,
right.
So there's a lot of people that would love to come into the U.S. to purchase a successful business. That
sure.
From, yeah.
And with the dollar right now, it'd be a good deal for them.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
We're going to take, we have another call. Michael in Norwalk has a question about small businesses. Michael, thanks for calling in. What's your question?
Well, it's sort of more of a comment, you know, based on what you were saying, because you make a lot of sense, you know. As a small business owner, you know, you find that you're running these cash flow quandaries, so to speak, where you're paying payroll tax, individual, quarterly tax, et cetera. And, juggling the cash flow gets very difficult. And, you know, truth of the matter is, you know, a lot of us people that have these, you know, we take the tax advantage to, our best point, but more importantly is, trying to put the money away for the SEP at the end of the year so that you don't have to, pay the extra taxes is very
right.
difficult. And, the state of Connecticut makes it very difficult to do business in the state, especially with small business. And even if you have a thriving business that, you know, maybe generates $1 million plus a year, you know, really all you're going to be able to sell the business for is your assets and maybe two times your salary.
Yeah, Michael, I'm sorry.
And you have to put that stuff on paper, and a lot of people who, like, have small business don't keep things on paper because, you know, they want to make money.
Exactly.
And if you're completely legitimate and transparent, the most you get is, like, your assets, your the value of your lease or the property, and then, you know, two times your salary. That's it.
Yeah, Michael, I'm going to have to put you on hold because we only have about a minute left. So, one, I want to tell people we're not here next week because there's a basketball game. So just so you know, we'll put contact information for both Joe and Peter on the website. And Peter, in the last 30 seconds, what are, like, just the list of things, if you're a business owner, that somebody, when they come to see you, what should they be looking to put in place? Just what are they?
Oh, well, absolutely a business retirement plan right off the bat. And I agree with Joe. A lot of financial ties to legal. I'm a former... my dad was an attorney, and I'm a big believer in setting up the legal structure in place. And it's so important that legal ties back to the financial. And so those two right there, I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks very much to Joe DiFilippo and Peter Cahill. We will be back in 2 weeks. Have a happy
Thanks,
Thanksgiving.
Joe. Thanks, Peter.
And Vincent, have a safe trip home.
I will.